The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. Hope you're all doing well. And it's the Punt Podcast here with Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And Derek McGovern on the line as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, Derek. Another weekend's Premier League action.
I actually had an email this week congratulating us on getting you back. I don't even know how they got my email address, Derek. It just won't stop this tirade of congratulations.
Quite right, too. All I got were during the gloom of the dark ages of Ron and Robbie was stick, so nice to get a bit of a claim.
Now you're a big fish, now you see.
I've been called many things, never that.
10 matches for us to get stuck into once again this weekend, and we start off with the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday afternoon, West Brom versus Arsenal. West Brom 7-2, the draw 23-10, and Arsenal in the betting at 17-20. Headline offers here: Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 3-1. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 7-1. Derek, the Arsenal fans, as per usual, baying for blood following Arsenal's loss to Manchester United at the Emirates. All those Wenger out banners being raised again. They had chances in the first half against Manchester United, but I thought they looked comfortable, Manchester United, in the second half. I know Lee thinks they were slightly unlucky, but I thought Man United just absorbed all that pressure, and Arsenal barely created anything in that second half against Manchester United.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Dave. It looked to me after the first 20 minutes when they were all over the place, United, that, you know, it's Arsenal. You know, was it you that was saying last week, well, come on, a Fergie team talk, come on, it's Spurs, in other words, we've got 3 points here. It's almost like that against Arsenal now. Yeah. It seemed to me like United, after they, you know, steadied the ship, they thought it seemed to me that they knew they could win it when they wanted. That's how bad Arsenal were. To be honest, I'm astonished that they're so short in the betting for this match. I'm not getting fooled by that win against Dortmund in midweek. I mean, Dortmund already qualified, weren't interested. You know, it's what happens in the Premier League, and what's happening in the Premier League right now is that Arsenal are becoming almost a laughing stock. I'm not saying West Brom are the greatest bet in the world. It's what, 7-2, is it, something like that? But I think there's a bit more to come from West Brom, and I don't think that about Arsenal. I think the bookies have got this wrong. This bears all the hallmarks of Palace against Liverpool last week. The home team 7-2 against a side that, in my eyes, is in disarray. I'll be back in West Brom.
They've got a good record against West Brom. Arsenal, they've won 5 and drawn 2 of their last 7 against the Baggies. But as we mentioned last week, Lee, they've still not beaten a team above 14th place in the league. Mm-hmm. West Brom 13th in the league, so that statistic might be confounded this weekend. But Arsenal 17-20. Your thoughts on this one?
First of all, misquoted. I said Man United were terrible in the first half, but were much better in the second.
The old chest that I was misquoted, taken out of context, blown out of all proportion.
I'm sure, Derek, the word unlucky was mentioned numerous occasions when talked about that match.
No, I think I said that Man United have been lucky in recent weeks. I still maintain that they could have been 3 down at half time. They've been lucky in numerous games, but that's what Man United do. They're 4th on the table. You can't cry poor luck all the time, can you? There's something that gets them the points, and you know, whatever it is. Arsenal, you know, again, Arsenal's defence. How naive to be pushing forward again. I mean, when Rooney scored that final goal on the TV shot, you saw Mertesacker in shot, he gave up. I mean, he's not going to catch Rooney, but you still try and run just in case Rooney hits the post and it rebounds or the keeper makes a save. At least you're within 10 yards of him and you've got a chance of getting the ball. I mean, defensively, they were shocking against Man United, and they weren't much better up front. Obviously, much better against Dortmund, although Dortmund are probably down tools to a certain extent. But I think they'll take that defensive display into this game. You know, West Brom are one of the poorest attacking teams at home in the division. They don't score many goals. 6 of their 9 goals have been scored by Saido Berahino at home. Now, ever since Saido Berahino, it came out this week that he's been arrested for drink driving, and that he was arrested back on, I think it was the 25th of October, the 22nd of October, at 4 a.m. God knows what he's doing, you know what I mean, driving around at 4 a.m, you know, drunk, you know, but you know, that footballers, eh? Well, do you think it's a coincidence that his last goal came on the 25th of October? He was flying, wasn't he? Since then, he's played a total of 6 games, including the internationals, of course, and hasn't scored a single goal.
Yeah, on the plus side, he's picked up more points than West Brom have, though.
He's in court, or he's being questioned early December, so it's obviously weighing, well, it's not obviously weighing heavy on him, but it's a fair assumption to make that it's not all going as well. You know, before he got selected for England, he was like the toast of everything, wasn't he? And suddenly he's kind of he's facing some issues. So I don't think West Brom will score is what I'm trying to get round to here. The two games that Arsenal have won away from home, they've both won 2-0. When they allow the opposition to score, it seems like they can't quite beat them. I think they'll beat them this time, but 17-20 for an Arsenal team who you can't be sure of isn't my bet. If my theory is right and Arsenal are going to beat them and beat them by a couple of goals, 13-10 for arguably the second best striker in the Premier League at the moment, Alexis Sanchez, is my bet. Great goal against Dortmund in midweek. Just a great player. 8 goals from 33 shots in the Premier League. So he doesn't need too many to score his goals either. So 13-10, Alexis Sanchez anytime is my favourite bet in this game.
Yeah, looks better than the 17-20 for Arsenal to win. Also, look at the headline offer, Alexis Sanchez to score.
But I get a stick every time I say
and
that.
And Arsenal
so, you know.
To win 3-2. No, you've not done it for the last couple of weeks, so you bet you
but
can
it's
use
it's an obvious
offer
bet. If you like Arsenal, then that's an obvious bet because yeah. Sanchez is likely to score in an Arsenal win.
Yeah, I much prefer that 3-1 to the 17-20 Arsenal to win the game on Saturday afternoon. We've got an evening fixture on Saturday as well, televised. Sunderland versus Chelsea. Sunderland 7-1. The draw 7-2. Chelsea in the betting at 2-5. Sunderland coming into this game, Lee, off the back of back-to-back draws against Leicester and Everton following that win at Crystal Palace. Leicester had the better of that game on Saturday afternoon, but it was pretty drab. Things went pretty much as expected in that game, Lee. And just to rubber stamp that, Lee Catamull, who was returning from suspension, picked up yet another yellow card. As for Chelsea, unbeaten in 19 now in all competitions. And Jose Mourinho called his side perfect following that midweek rout against Schalke, and it's difficult to argue with him at the moment.
Yeah, and we've made a little bit of money by backing opposition teams kind of plus 2 goals over the past few weeks because, you know, they weren't quite hitting all the right notes, Chelsea, but obviously still getting the job done. The first half against West Brom, they were brilliant, and then, you know, didn't add to the goals. I think Derek called 2-0 last week actually in this game. I went for, you know, -2. I must admit, but after 25 minutes I was like sat back rubbing my hands together thinking, yeah, that's that, McGovern. West Brom down to 10 men, Chelsea 2 up. Yeah, finished 2-0. Sunderland have, you know, a bit of a bogey side for Mourinho. They ended that amazing home record of Mourinho's last season by beating them at Stamford Bridge. They knocked them out of the Capital One Cup. It was 3-2 at the Stadium of Light. I'm not saying Sunderland are going to beat them here, but I'm not sure they should be as big as 7-1. I think that does give you some, you know, some scope to back maybe Sunderland, you know, maybe plus 2 again. It's 13-20 though. It's I thought it would be a little bit bigger than that, to be honest. I think Chelsea will win, and you know, if they play anything like they did against Schalke, anything like they did in the first half, then they'll win well. But again, I'm going to go for another goal scorer here. Eden Hazard scored in that 3-2 win last season. In fact, he got 2 of them. Eden Hazard 7-5 to score in this game, and if they do, I think Chelsea will get a couple at least, and I think he'll be amongst them, because there's one thing that Sunderland can't cope with. Even if they manage to keep tabs on Costa, they won't be able to keep tabs on all the runners from midfield. So yeah, Hazard to score any time for me at 7-5. I think Chelsea will win, but the price is obviously a bit short.
Do you think Sunderland, Derek, at 7-1 is too big?
No, I don't. No. You know, I'm often looking for on the lookout for big priced home teams, or big priced away teams even, but not against Chelsea and not Sunderland. I think the goal in class is massive, and I don't think Sunderland have done anything to be going into this game with any kind of confidence. I mean, what was it? 1 win in their last 5, still got an 8-0 defeat at Southampton in their recent history. Having the worst of a game against Leicester, who were there for the taking, you know, it doesn't build you with any confidence. I just can't see, okay, Lee's right to say that Sunderland have now and again been a bogey team, but not at the Stadium of Light. Chelsea have gone to the Stadium of Light the last 6 seasons and won every time, scoring at least 2 goals every time. There's a 3-1 there, a 3-2, a 4-2. There's a 4-3 win a few seasons ago. I'm going to go for Chelsea minus a goal at evens, so you've got to win by 2. And you're doubling your money for what's a certainty for me.
Okay, Chelsea -1 Derek's bet at even money, Lee.
I've got one quirky little bet for you, if people like this. I'm just seeing if we've got a price for it. I'm not sure we will have at the moment, but any time own goal, there have been four own goals in the last four head-to-heads between these two sides, three of them scored by Sunderland, which is it's a quirky record. There's no reason for that to continue. It's just one of those quirky things that if you see an own goal in the game, you'll be like, and there'll be a lot of balls around the box. There have also been a few penalties in this. So, you know, Sunderland kind of panic a bit whenever Chelsea get in their box over recent seasons. Where would we find that, actually? In the other markets, usually?
It's usually in the anytime goal scorer markets.
Usually it's right there, but I thought that would be.
They're running scared, your ad compilers. They're on it already.
Do you think they've managed to locate Lee's notes somewhere?
They're usually a big price, though, aren't they? Anyway, so have a look for that when it pops up on the console. Have a look for that. Anytime own goal or an own goal to be scored in the match. In the Arsenal Man U game, it was 14-1. For instance, Ollie Pimlott, who was on In Play Radio, they put it up, and obviously that landed. So if it's anything like that price, it might be worth a couple of quid.
Very nice. Yeah.
On to Sunday's live matches then, and we'll start off with Southampton versus Manchester City. Southampton 11-5. The draw 2-1 at Manchester City. In the market at 11-8, and I suppose, Derek, this is the acid test for Southampton now, with this match followed by the trip to Arsenal and the home match against Manchester United. Something that you made reference to on the Pump podcast last week. They've had a pretty easy spell of it, Southampton, and it's going to get more tricky in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, every team they played this season is actually going down this season. Mm. 12 teams are all being relegated. That's how bad their opposition has been. Mm. I mean, Saints, no doubt about it, Saints have performed miracles this season. On Monday they made even Aston Villa look good. That's the kind of miracles they have. I mean, they're 13-8 to finish in the top four, and that's very short when you consider that they won't.
It's just terrible price, isn't it?
No, I mean, I've noticed the 7-1 knocking around. I haven't seen the Hills price for this yet. For the next three matches, Saints to finish with 0 points. Mm. I like the look of that big time. You know, they've just been lucky. The fixture list has been incredibly kind. That all changes this weekend, and you're getting Manchester City to get against an vastly overrated side. Our odds against, job done. Absolute certainty.
This is one of those occasions, Derek, where if this match was priced pre-season, Manchester City would definitely be odds on for
this
match.
They'd be about 4-9, wouldn't they? At the beginning, if this was the first game of this season, City would have been about 4-9, given all the players Southampton had flogged to Liverpool. Bastards.
They just sat in the back. You can imagine in the boardroom going, stroking a cat on the lap.
It looks like unbelievable business now, doesn't it? Manchester City, Lee, being carried by Sergio Aguero, absolutely majestic midweek. Again, incredible hat-trick on Tuesday night at the Etihad. To single-handedly, really, beat Bayern Munich and resurrect their Champions League hopes. I'm pretty sure when he came off late on, Manuel Pellegrini whispered in his ear, "Well done, you've saved my job here," because it does feel like that was a big, big moment for Manchester City.
Yeah, watching him makes me wish I'd put up Man City to win and Aguero to score at 4-1 in the midweek podcast.
I wouldn't even claim that, Derek. It was that lucky.
Hey, we get chinned that many times by bookies. You can't crow about bad luck, can you? I've been looking at Southampton a lot this week. I've spent far too much time looking at them and looking at the stats and looking at the, you know, we get these websites like whoscored.com that give player ratings based on this, that and the other. And the ratings have been coming down gradually for the players. The whole team's rating was the worst it has been all season against Aston Villa. And they made quite a few uncharacteristic individual errors, which could be a sign of fatigue. It could be a one-off. We don't know. Derek's spot on with what he said about the teams they've played. This defensive record at home, they're the second best domestic defence in Europe behind Roma. It's been built on playing teams who are in the bottom 10 of the shots on goal table. They don't attack, these teams. So, you know, they're defending well, but they're playing against teams who aren't really going to pressure them that much. This weekend, they're playing a team who are top of the shots on goal and top of the shots on target away from home in Manchester City. This is the acid test. If they come through this and they keep Man City to nil and they manage to, or they get a draw, then I'll hold my hands up and say fine. But I think Man City, they needed a kick up the backside, didn't they? And I think maybe that Bayern Munich win was it. When they beat Bayern Munich last year 3-2, they came back to the Premier League and beat Arsenal 6-3. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but I do like Man City. I'm already I've put an asterisk next to Man City for my bet of the week at 13-8. I might even go Man City to win it over 2.5 goals at 9-4, because I can see Aguero scoring here. And I can see them. I can see them just being too much for Southampton. If Southampton made individual errors against an Aston Villa side, what are they going to do against a team who are putting so much pressure on them? That if they are fatigued in any way, then I think they're going to struggle. Aguero at 13-10 to score in any match has to be a bet for me.
Especially against Southampton.
I mean, this defence...
I know Southampton's defence has been absolutely incredible,
that,
but it is still Southampton.
Yeah, and the scoring, you know, the last three games, they've won 1-0, 1-0 before the Villa game, and 2-0, the last three wins. You know, they're relying on the defence because they're not scoring many goals, actually. You know, City score goals away from home, as we know. So, yeah, I'm all over City. The one other thing, we haven't got a market on it yet, but I've been banging on about it all season. City like to break play up by, you know, sticking a foot in the middle of the park and then getting their shape back. Southampton's bookings record, they're pretty disciplined at home. They've only picked up 6 yellows all season at home. City have picked up 15 yellow cards on the road. So the Saints is the best disciplinary record at home in the division. So when you get that bookings market up, Man City to have most bookings is worth a look.
Southampton 11-5, the draw 2-1, Man City 11-8. I get the feeling there might be a battle for bet of the week there, Derek, because
I've just staked my claim for it there.
You've got to give it your guess. Come on.
Man City 11-8 to win at Southampton. The tea time kickoff on Sunday is Tottenham versus Everton. Tottenham 11-8, the draw 2-1. Everton in the market at 11-5. Both winners last night. Tottenham beating Partizan Belgrade 1-0 at White Hart Lane. Everton topping Group H with a clinical display in Wolfsburg, winning 2-0. Everton actually unbeaten, Lee, in all competitions since that 2-1 loss at Old Trafford back in October. There's a feeling with Everton that they're achieving reasonable results but haven't yet hit top gear, apart from in the Europa League, where they've looked very, very accomplished.
I thought this was a hard game to call, actually. You know, two teams, of course, who've played each other so many times in the top division in English football. Locked on 17 points, both obviously in Europa League action, as you mentioned. Both got players who can win games on their day. Both have looked ordinary at times this season as well. I think Tottenham, obviously, with the fact they played at home in the Europa League, and this is at home. Everton have been to Germany and back, and then got to travel to London, so that maybe just shades it in Tottenham's favour. But then they've won one game in the last five at home since beating QPR in the opening home game, and QPR were wretched that day. Terrible home form. I went online to have a look at why. You know, I just typed in, why is Tottenham so poor at home? I found three excuses.
That's how he finds all his bets, Derek.
I found three excuses. You might have seen this one the other week. Maurizio Pochettino said that the pitch at the lane is too small. He said, our style means we need a bigger space to play because we play a positional game. That's an issue, isn't it? You know, basically, teams who play deep against them, Newcastle, Liverpool, West Brom, we find it difficult to break them down. I wonder what Everton are going to do. Then he also said the psychological makeup of the players is an issue. We're working on the psychology of the Tottenham players, as we said, that, well, basically they're a bit weak. And Emmanuel Adebayor blamed the fans. He said it's a supporters' fault.
Yeah.
When you're playing in front of your own crowd, you want them to support you, but now it's like going through a sad moment and your family not welcoming you home. It's the worst thing ever because you've got nowhere to go. At the moment, I don't know whether we should play at home or whether we should play away. I'm not just talking about me. I'm speaking on behalf of all the players. I think it might be better to play away from home at the moment because at least we know beforehand we're guaranteed to be booed because they want their home club to win. Pretty damning stuff. I mean, him scoring goals might make them cheer, to be fair. So I think Tottenham have got issues. I think Everton can exploit them, but I think they may be fatigued as well. I'm going to go for the draw, and if you want a real flyer, Everton to be winning at half time and it to be a draw at full time. So Everton half time, the draw full time is a nice tasty 14-1.
14-1 Everton half time, the draw full time. Three of Tottenham's five Premier League wins this season have come via 90th minute goals.
And they've conceded a few in the early stages of the games, haven't they?
They have indeed. Lee said, Derek, that these two sides have been ordinary at times. I think Tottenham are an ordinary side.
Spot on. And Everton aren't. Everton, you just sense, are coming to the boil. Tottenham aren't capable of it. They need to take a long, soft look at themselves because, I mean, their form, for the money they've shelled out this season has been, over the last two seasons have been diabolical. And, I revealed my opposed Tottenham at all costs policy last week, which should have paid dividends, really. Yeah. They were very unlucky. I mean, Tottenham can only beat 10 men, can't they? Whenever they win, it's always against 10 men in the last minute. If Everton keep 11 men on the pitch, they'll win. And I think a 2-1, 9-4, I think they're a great bet. I don't agree. I mean, Everton have bounced back from Europe and some decent results this season. I think right now, Everton are a team to keep on the right side of, and Tottenham definitely aren't.
They're just a better side.
Without question. There's not a weakness in the Everton side. Okay, they lack the stardust of the Cities and the Chelseas. But there's not, you look at the team and solid performers in every department. A good side, Everton.
That's Everton 11-5 to win away at White Hart Lane on Sunday afternoon. Tottenham 11-8 to win that game. The draw 2-1. Two headline offers there, by the way, as well. The Everton one particularly interesting. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 5-1. And if you fancy Emmanuel Adebayor to score,
you're mad.
Yeah, you're mad. You need locking up. And Tottenham to win, that's in the market at 3-1. Let's move on to Saturday's non-televised matches, and we'll start with Swansea versus Crystal Palace. Swansea 5-6, the draw 12-5, Crystal Palace 7-2. Wilfred Bony to score and Swansea to win is 5-2. Dwight Gale to score and Crystal Palace to win in the market at 8-1. Swansea have come out of that difficult three-match run, Derek, with 3 points, and now they look to have the opportunity to pick up points quickly. They've got a relatively easy run of fixtures, and Wilfred Bony scored, even though he scored first at the Etihad last weekend. They couldn't handle the power of Yaya Toure, who scored the winner for City. And following that strike, City could have probably gone on to extend that lead. I don't think Swansea were unlucky at the Etihad last week, but they've got out of that difficult patch now and they've got a comfortable run of fixtures coming up.
It's well within the compass to win this. I mean, irrespective of Palace's defeat of Liverpool last week, I put that down to Liverpool being horrendous and Palace being anything special. It's just Swansea odds on. I don't like backing it. I find it's a tough one to call. I can't go for Palace even at 7-2 away from home. I mean, I should go for that because that's been my MO for years, but I'm not liking what I see from Palace. Rather than back Swansea odds on, what I'm going to do is go for Bony to score and Swansea to win, because when that loses, I won't feel so bad about it, because I hate backing odds on losers. 5-2, Bony to score and Swansea to win. I just don't think Palace are good enough to go there and win.
Yeah, I like that bet. 5-2. I'm not sure how Neil Warnock escapes the mirror in the morning, because he's got some ego, hasn't he? Following that win against Liverpool, he said that was a Neil Warnock performance.
Isn't he a horrible character? And also, doesn't he sound exactly like that Carl Fogarty on I'm a Celebrity?
I haven't noticed that actually.
Yeah, Jesus. When you're not watching the TV, you just turn away and you're, what's Neil Warnock doing there? And then you turn around and that Fogarty user.
You know, he said, how did he escape the mirror in the morning? It's because he's broken them all in his house, isn't it? Yeah. Every time he looks at one, they smash.
He went on to say, apparently they aren't having me, are they, some of them? But if that's a team that isn't having me, I don't know what to do. I mean, this guy, he has got some serious ego, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? When I used to work in Yorkshire when he was manager of Sheffield United, and we'd go and see him every week. And he's actually, when you're dealing with him on a one-to-one, he's brilliant. Copy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
And he actually gave a message at my wedding, weirdly enough, to congratulate my wife and I on our wedding, which is weird. So I've always got that. I think I kind of in my heart, I think he's a good guy, but that is just too much, isn't it? In fairness to him, I think a lot of it he says is tongue in cheek. As far as this game, I pretty much agree with Derek, to be honest with you. I don't like Swansea at the price, but I really can't see Crystal Palace beating them. Their away form since beating Everton, they've lost at Hull, drew at West Brom, lost at United. I could maybe make an argument for the draw, because Palace do like teams to come onto them and do give away lots of possession. Obviously Swansea will have all the possession. I think he'll set up pretty solid here. Maybe to get a bit of value out of it, if you don't, just to give a different bet to Derek's, and I do like the Bony to score and Swansea to win. Maybe the draw at half time, if Palace keep it very tight, Swansea to win the game in the end. So draw Swansea at 7-2 would be a nice shout.
And just to come back to something you were saying, Derek, about the price at 5-6, when you consider that Southampton were the same price away at Villa on Monday. Maybe then the 5-6 doesn't look that bad, given Swansea at home to Palace. Very similar makeup, but you've got the home side here at the odds on.
Yeah, that's a fair point, but I just don't think, even though they're in a great position, Swansea, I don't think they win enough games. I mean, you know, their odds on, they've won 5 games out of 12. They're not a team to trust, basically.
No, I think they'll end up, I think they'll be more like 13th, 14th come the end of the season.
Do you really?
They're going to miss Boney when he goes to the Africa Cup of Nations a lot, I think. I'm not having Swansea, and it might be the case that, I'm not quite brave enough to go with this, but it might be the case that sometimes when teams do okay against the better teams, when they come up against the lesser teams, there's a percentage of the team that just takes the foot off the pedal.
Okay.
Because they don't have to, because the pressure's not on as much. It's more like, oh, we've done our job. That kind of natural, kind of human nature thing to do. So,
I'd take the even money they finish top half, Swansea.
What? Say that again.
I'd take even money they finish top half, Swansea. I think they'll finish top half of the league.
There is a lot of dross in the division, isn't there? There really is.
West Ham, Newcastle next. 6-5, the Hammers. The draw is in the market at 21-10. Newcastle 5-2, 5th and 6th in the league, respectively. These two sides, Lee, and Newcastle continued that good run with a 1-0 win at home against QPR last weekend. They've now won 6 straight in all competitions. Only conceded 1 goal in the process, which is incredible. West Ham went to Goodison and were beaten 2-1, but they were without Diafra Sakho, Stuart Downing, Enner Valencia, Chet Kiyote and Alex Song. Those five, obviously, probably the 5 best players that West Ham have got, and all big misses, and they've all got possibilities of returning this weekend as well. Yeah. Team news again, very important in this
match. It is, yeah. They're all rated as doubts at the moment, so that would influence me a lot. You know, I think if Diafra Sakho is back playing and he's fully match fit, then I think they're obviously a different team, because he was in great scoring form, wasn't he? I really like Zarate as well. I think he's an excellent player, and Kouate. I don't know if they just bought them because they write him or not, but yeah. But they're both excellent players. They've got an excellent team, to be fair. This Newcastle run, though, I mean, I just can't get my head around it. You know, I want to keep opposing it, but every time you think, oh, again. Not even conceding goals either. You know, they beat Tottenham away, Man City away in the cup, and West Brom away, conceding 1 goal and scoring 6. I'm struggling a bit here. I'd like to back West Ham, but I can't do it, I don't think. The draw's staring at me, just because I don't think this Newcastle run can last forever. But I am struggling a bit with the game. I think I'll sit on the fence and wait for the team news to come out, to be honest with you. Both teams to score, yes, 4-5. I could see that. It's a bit skinny for me, but I could see that one. I'd rather you know, play that and be assured of them both scoring a goal than trying to pick a result in this one.
Your thoughts on this, Derek?
I fancy West Ham. You know, I've opposed Newcastle their last 6 matches that they've won.
I'm just staying quiet about it. I just can't call them. I don't.
The 7p I've got left is going on West Ham, because Newcastle ain't good enough to maintain a run like this, and I think they've enjoyed a bit of a luck in this sequence. Andy Carroll fit, isn't he, against his old club, which can mean only one thing. Yeah. He's due an injury. I think he might run riot against him. You know, I think Newcastle are heading for a big fall. Whether it'll come this week, I don't know. But the odds are fair enough for West Ham, given the position they're in, odds against. And they win their first share at Upton Park. I'm going to go for West Ham here, because Newcastle's run is too good to be true.
Next up, Burnley versus Aston Villa. Burnley 6-5. The draw 21-10, and Aston Villa in the market at 5-2.
Can we skip this one?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I've got this written down here. Won't spend long on this one. Darren Bent's gone to Brighton on loan, Derek. He remains Villa's most expensive signing ever. £18 million.
No.
£18 million. Pounds.
Yeah.
And that was set to rise to 24 with add-ons. I wondered, Derek, if there was something in the contract about Villa getting something back if he ends up on loan at a championship club. But I don't think it works like that, unfortunately.
I know.
Incredible.
It is on loan, unbelievable. Well, I mean, he said he can guarantee them 20 touches a season. That's pretty good going. That's why they've got him. I mean, he's never been my kind of player, Darren Bent. And so, you know, I don't think we're going to be seeing him in the Premier League again. As for this game, well, it's like Newcastle. Burnley got 1-2 on the bounce, and I don't see how. And I thought it was a fair bit to like about them the other night in that draw against Southampton. And I've always said Villa away from home, I'm always happy to back them away from home because they're this side equipped to do well on the road. You know, they have Bonnahor, the speed of him, and Wyman and so on. I'm going to go for Villa here. I think the good things.
5-2 Aston Villa to win away at Burnley, who are 6-5. I think backing Burnley at 6-5 in the Premier League is the road to the poorhouse, Lee.
Yeah, completely agree with you and with Derek as well. I mean, I think 5-2 is too big a price for Villa. We said last week, you know, I thought they'd get the draw. I thought they'd kind of build on stopping that rot. You're not going to go from losing so many games to getting a draw and then suddenly winning. But what a fixture for them. What a couple of fixtures for them, actually. You know, picked up a point, a little bit of confidence against West Ham, rode the luck a little bit. Picked up the point against Southampton. Southampton had plenty of shots, of course, but, you know, kept them at 1-1. They can go to Burnley. They can play the game, as Derek says, of the game that we've seen time and time again with the pace that they have on the counter-attack. You know, Burnley do like to attack, actually. They're just not very good at it. You know, you'd imagine this would be low on the goals. I mean, Burnley haven't scored more than one goal at home in any game this season. In fact, they've only scored four goals all season in the Premier League. And Villa aren't much better, to be honest with you. Scored two. They've scored the goal at Liverpool in the 1-0 win, the goal at Stoke in the 1-0 win, and that's it. So you're taking a bit on trust that they can get the goals, but 5-2. For me, would be the bet, and I'd probably go for a bit more value. You don't really need it, but for a bit more, Aston Villa to win at under 2.5 goals. I could see them getting an early goal and then just sitting on it, and you know, and just stopping Burnley, you know, getting any goals at all. So that might be a play. But to be honest, happy with 5-2. It's not. I mean, it's amazing, Derek. That, I mean, your rule. Regular listeners will know that your rule of backing a team, you know, against equal opposition, if you like, or someone who isn't in the top four or six at around 3-1 or more. I was amazed that they were that close to three. You know, 5-2 is a big price
it is.
A team who've got match winners as well. So, yeah, I think it's more the price on Burnley that makes me have a bet on Villa, if I'm being honest. But no Benteke, of course, still banned. But Wyman, Agbonlahor and Zogbia are probably leading the line here.
If you do fancy Aston Villa and under 2.5 goals in the game, that's 9-2, by the way, Aston Villa and under 2.5 goals. Liverpool next versus Stoke. Liverpool 8-11. Now, they were as short as 8-13. Liverpool eased slightly to 8-11. The draw is 5-2, and Stoke in the betting at 4-1. Lee, only 1 point separates these two sides in the league. Stoke in 11th and Liverpool in 12th. And Liverpool, in many ways, Lee, back to being the bookie's best friend again. Had a year off when Luis Suarez almost single-handedly landed the odds most weeks. Form figures of loss, draw since the 2-1 win in the Capital One Cup against Swansea. And he's having trouble working this out, Brendan Rodgers, at the moment, Lee.
Yeah, and he's talking rubbish as well, isn't he? You know, he said after the game in midweek that, you know, that the players couldn't have done any better. I mean, the goal that they gave, just daft mistakes again, giving the goals away. Yeah, it's a tricky one to call. You're not quite sure what Liverpool team's going to turn up. But I look at Stoke and the goals they've scored away from home. They're a bit like Villa in that they seem to enjoy being away from home more now. They scored two at Tottenham, two at QPR, the one at Man City when they won, of course. All three of those teams are teams who like to come out at you. And Stoke sat back on each of those occasions, gave away possession and hit them on the break. You know, the game against Sunderland and Southampton, a little less so. Southampton don't really dominate possession. They just like nicking it back off you. I think Liverpool will come out and have a go at Stoke. So, you know, I can see goals. I'm honestly not sure which way this is going to go, but I can see it being quite a high scorer. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like a 2-2 draw, to be honest with you. I know that's a bit adventurous, but over 2.5 goals at 10-11 is good. Over 3.5 at 9-4 is decent as well. So whichever one of those you feel like taking, I'll probably take the over 2.5.
You know what? I would have paid only once in the last six fixtures in this match. Yeah, Liverpool, yeah. Stoke.
It's been a bit different with Stoke, though, isn't it now? There seems to be slightly different this season.
Yeah, a bit more expansive. 3-0 draws in the last six seasons, this game, and a 1-0 last season for Liverpool. 8-11 Liverpool, it's just, you know, it's only for the crazies. It really is. I mean, when they bought Lovren, Lallana, and Lambert. I mean, a lot of Liverpool fans thought that Rodgers was turning Liverpool into the Southampton of the North. And those fears have been realised that they're actually now Northampton. That's how bad they've been. Rodgers, he had to say what he did in midweek. But they were poor again, Liverpool. Yeah. Liverpool are odds on. I think that's only for the people, the big punters abroad who've been backing Liverpool are odds on for centuries because yeah. You know they still associate Liverpool with the great teams of old. No one in Britain will back them. No one will put up a red cent on them. Mm. It's a shame because Stoke earlier in the week were very tidily priced with a goal start. In other words, you get the draw on your side. But that's come down a little bit now. But I'm still going to go for that. Stoke with a goal start because I just don't see Liverpool winning this.
Yeah. Stoke plus one is 23 to 20, by the way.
Yeah, just over evens. I think I like the look of that.
Yeah, that's decent, that, isn't it? Lambert at 30. I mean, it's not a big enough price, but Lambert's one shining light is that he's coming to the team at last and he showed that he's a goal scorer. Scored obviously in the opening minutes against Palace and scored in the opening minutes against Ludogorets as well. Because the Liverpool are so short, 13-10, you can't have that.
Did Steven Gerrard play back in behind Lambert on Wednesday night as well?
Yeah, he looked a lot more effective there. I mean, I've always wanted him to play there anyway. He did. The signs of him coming back a bit there in midweek, Gerrard.
What's the feeling on Merseyside about Brendan Rodgers? Obviously, 5-1 to be the next Premier League manager to go. How many more games has he got, Derek?
Well, everybody knows it was going to be difficult without Suarez. I mean, they're cutting him a lot of slack, Liverpool fans, because of what he did last season. I mean, he overachieved massively, didn't he? Yeah. Especially when you look at that bird he shacked up with. But he won't be going this season anyway, no matter what happens.
Oh, you don't think so? No, he won't.
No, he won't go.
They've got a cracking record. Just one final word on this. They've got a cracking record against Stoke, Liverpool. Yeah. Stoke have failed to win in their last 29 league visits to Anfield. They've only drawn 4 of those. They've lost 25 of their last 29 at Anfield. I know it's a different Stoke side now, but...
And they haven't scored in their last 6 visits there.
No, they haven't, so that's definitely worth factoring in. Liverpool odds on, though, 8-11 against Stoke on Saturday afternoon. The draw, 5-2, and Stoke in the betting at 4-1. Penultimate match this weekend, QPR versus Leicester. QPR 11-8, the draw 21-10, and Leicester 11-5. Derek, both of these teams in the relegation zone, and they might end up in the relegation zone as well come the end of the season. Leicester have now gone 5 without a goal and only got 2 goals in 7. They did have the better of that game against Sunderland last weekend, but they were ineffectual in the final third.
I can't have them. They just don't look like scoring. When QPR look more of a threat going forward, they're at home, and I think they'll win QPR. But did you notice there was a price knocking around this week? I don't think it was Hills. Something like 7 or 8 to 1 for the 3 promoted sides who are now occupying the bottom 3 spaces to go down this season. Mm. That looks a big price, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think QPR probably get themselves out of it, but it does look a big price.
Yeah, I'll be having a dabble of that, but I'll also be backing QPR here. I just take that 5-3 win over United out of the equation, and you can't explain that one. What have Leicester done? Very, very little. I think there's a bit more to come from QPR. They'll be getting my money.
Lee?
I'd go with QPR. I think.
Are you giving up on Leicester now? Then
11. Well, this is not doing anything that you can't trust them, can you? With your money, there's nothing. They're going to be solid again. They'll go to QPR and they'll look to keep it tight and they'll look to nick a point or maybe nick all 3 on the break. But QPR, even when they were playing poorly, they were still attacking, and that was probably their problem. They were attacking, but they weren't getting close enough to the opposition when they didn't have the ball. Now averaging 5 shots on target a game, which is that's pretty good, really. That's right up there. With some of the big boys, it's pretty much the same as Liverpool and Man United. This is at home, by the way, and have plenty of shots on goal. So it's whether they've got the guile to break Leicester down. I think they probably will have, but I put up Leicester the other week to maintain a draw at half time against Southampton and then lose, and I'm going to go for the same bet here. So the draw at half time, because Nigel Pearson seems to be able to get that done, but QPR to get a win in the end, and that's 9-2.
Okay, QPR 11-8 to win the match. The draw 21-10. Leicester 11-5. The two headline offers here: Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win is 3-1.
Not bad, that, because if anyone's going to score, it's probably going to be him. To be fair,
definitely.
Isn't it?
And Leonardo Ojoa, has he been playing? Him to score and Leicester to win in the betting at 5-1 this weekend. And we finish off with Manchester United versus Hull on Saturday afternoon. Manchester United 1-3, the draw 4-1, and Hull in the betting at 8-1. This is the match, Lee, traditionally Steve Bruce rolls over and has his tummy tickled, doesn't he, in this particular fixture?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm tempted a little bit by Hull. I mean, they were a much bigger price than this when I was prepping the game. I think they were tens when I was prepping it. And they were a big price, plus a goal as well. I mean, you look now, you know, plus one for Hull, so the draw or the win is 23-10. Now, they haven't scored an away goal in two, Hull, and obviously United have got goals in them. But there's something about this game. I don't think Man United are playing as well as their league position tells us. And I think they'll be buoyed by the confidence that they got from beating Arsenal and the fact they are fourth. I think they'll be a little bit more expansive against Hull and try and hammer them. Just wonder if Hull can be solid and hit them on the break enough to claim a draw at the very least out of this. Plus two, 4-5. I mean, you got three results on your side there. A Man United one goal victory, a draw and a Hull win. Yeah, I think I'm not overly sure, to be honest with you, on the game. I can't trust Man United at 1-3, but I'm just not sure it's going to go. But I'm going to trust Hull to get something out of the game. I'll go plus two at 4-5.
Shortest price on the coupon this weekend, Derek, Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, they did excellently against City for the last 20 minutes, didn't he, when they were down to 10 men. Did it against Arsenal as well. You sense, worryingly, that they're coming back. I mean, they've still got to sort out that defence, but I can't see any reason to be back in Hull here. I actually think Hull, I look at the players Hull have gone, I think they should be doing a lot better than they are.
Right, sure. You know, they were there, weren't they? I mean, they were doing all right. Yeah. And then it's just, you know, the form's just dropped off alarmingly, really. Yeah. I mean, when I say they're doing all right, they were, you know, picking up points and wins, and then they just seem to have collapsed, don't they?
They do. And they're only a point ahead of Leicester, you know. Yeah. So let's not say like they're some sort of Swansea or something capable of going somewhere. I think United will win this well. I can see both teams scoring, by the way, yeah, which is an even money poke. But I can't see anything other than a United win. I think they're good things.
If you're looking at the match result and both teams to score, Manchester United to win the match, but both teams to score 2-1, which isn't bad when you consider Manchester United are 1-3 to win the match.
Yeah, that's the one.
That looks a good bet. Yeah. Let's finish off with a nap, Derek. And you made a compelling case to go first, suggesting you were the guest this weekend.
You can go first.
You can go first,
Derek. Age before beauty.
Well, Lee, I am obviously going.
I've got two, City. So if you go for that one, that City bet, then I don't mind.
I'm going for City then. Okay. Definitely.
Okay, Manchester City. For Derek, Lee, your bet?
Aston Villa, 5-2.
Okay. Cole, let's hear yours, Dave.
You know what? I really fancy Everton to win at Tottenham. Wow. So I'll stick Everton in at 11-5. I don't think they should be over 2-1.
I like that treble. That's a good one, that one.
It is.
Yeah, I think Everton.
They're always good on a Friday afternoon, aren't they? It's 25-1, 25.6-1. Aston Villa 5-2, Man City 11-8, Everton 11-5, and away day treble. This weekend, I like that.
It is. You know, that's such a good bet that we should put it on, and a bookie should allow us to cash out before the kickoff. Well, double our money.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how good absolutely. That bet is.
I tell you, on a serious note, rather than having the treble, which you can have the treble, have the Trixie.
He's always cautious. He's always so cautious, isn't he, Derek?
if two of those come in, if one of the doubles lands, you're doing all right.
Yeah, but the way it's working this season is because these are such big prices. All we need is one to land this season.
Yeah, we can sit pretty the rest of the season.
Let's say, for argument's sake, yours loses, DK. I mean, I just picked that at random. You know, the double's still 7.3-1. So, you know, I think, yeah, don't, you know, have the treble if you want. But, you know, I'm going to play the Trixie.
Okay. Right.
In fact, the shortest price of any of the three trebles is 6-1.
Yeah.
Any three doubles, 6-1.
Thank you for your company, Derek, this weekend.
Pleasure.
And thank you, Mr. Phelps, as per usual.
It's been great.
I remember you can download this podcast via iTunes or check us out on audioboom.com as well. And we'll be back with the midweek punt on Monday and the Premier League punt next week on Friday as well. And from all of us here signing off, we'll speak very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.